and the Ammonites, the Azotites heard the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that all the places that were pulled down had been stopped, they were very angry. What I want us to kind of look at tonight is the fact that every time we are building the walls in our lives, our families, our homes, any aspect of our life that is getting better, some people will not be happy. They were very angry that our welfare is getting better. And one thing I want us to pay attention to is if we don't know who we are fighting or who it's not on our side, we won't know how to defend ourselves. Verse 8, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 8. And they conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to prevent us, to hinder us. I pray that we will not be prevented in the name of Jesus. You know? I hear some noise in the background, that's why. You know, there are so many things that hinder us. We must identify them and we must be able to deal with them. Let me ask us this question. What are the things that hinder us as individuals? Matt, if I want to ask you, if you know how many people will talk about you in good or bad way, you'll be surprised. Sir, if I ask you how many people talk to you in good way or bad way, you'll be surprised. Matt, the same, if I tell you how many people may talk about you in certain ways, you'll be surprised. The day I heard about people that talk about me in certain ways, I said, And the goal was to hinder. They said, what is it that he's doing? Does he even know what he's doing? What I want us to be encouraged by the principles of Nehemiah today is to understand that there are people that will always see whatever you do as not critical. They see it as it's not important. They see it as, why should you make it? Why should you get to that end of it? They were angry that we're building the wall. They are not helping us to build the wall, but they are angry that we're building the wall. They conspired a plan to stop us from doing it. Every time you want to do something great, be careful, people that know about it. I'm not saying you shouldn't tell people about great things you want to do, but make sure that the plan that you have on is very clear as to, yes, God, I have discussed this with God. God help me. Because some other people, all that they want to do, whether you know whether they are physical people or spiritual entities, all they plan to do is to prevent or hinder you from doing that. And then one thing I want us to hold on, you know, today we're not speaking too much. We just want to pick some specific. Verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God. You must pray about everything that will hinder you from completing what you want to do. Father, I pray that no power will hinder me from accomplishing your purpose in the name of Jesus. Many times we may be deceived and say, oh, because I'm in a better country, because I'm in a better society, therefore, things will work well. There are some people that will do everything possible to remove you from where you are. Sanballat and Tobiah, they were not praying or helping. They were trying to hinder the plan of God. In fact, they were happy that the people would be in the same way they are. And please don't be surprised even in church. People in church, it's only God that can help the church. Church is a place where, you know, we should have deep trust. Church is a place where we should always be able to pray together, fellowship together. But, you know, there will be backbiting, there will be slandering, there will be all kinds of things. But I think we can just, that's good enough. Thank you, sir. They were trying to hinder. But we prayed. Please, if there is anything you have not relied on, rely on prayer. Pray about every plan that God has laid in your heart. Nehemiah decided to pray against physical people he could see. Oh, coming against them. Let me move on quickly so that we can understand some of this. And the people, now please, I want us to pay attention to this because it's very important. Verse 10. Judah, the people said, our strength and those of the people that are helping, the strengths have reduced. And there is a lot of things to do so that we are not able to continue. Let's look at the two things. We are getting tired. We are getting weary. You have pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. But you know what? It looks like there are just too many oppositions, too many problems, too many struggles. And then you look at how many things you need to do to get things done. A lot. And you know what? You know the answer that people gave was, we are not able to build a wall. You will always get to the point in life that you will get to the point and you say, I can't do this anymore. First, salvation. Let's think about our salvation. You will get, once you have made up your mind to be a Christian and you believe you want to pursue, you will start strong. You will always be joyful, playing, singing, dancing, committing yourself. There is always that point in time you will get to that line where you say, I see so many things I want to do, and I see so many things frustrating me. You know what? We can't do this anymore. You will get to the point, no matter how anointed that person is, you will get to the point where you say, I don't think it's worth this effort. I can't continue. Take any example in the Bible. The Bible said that John the Baptist was anointed from the womb, that he had the Spirit of God. He was able to identify Jesus and say, this is the Lamb of God. No one told him. But yet, when he got to the stressful point of life in prison, he said to some people and said, go ask him, are you the one or not? Why will he be asking the question? Stress. When you look at the things around you, you will get to the point. Why do you think many people commit suicide? People commit suicide not because they are completely crazy, but because they have looked at everything. They see so many things to do. Bills pile up, family things, business things, children, all kinds of things not working. And they're like, you know what? I don't know. I'll just take this life and just go. First thing, pray about the things that will hinder you. Sometimes your mind will be the one that will keep telling you you can't make it. When you look at everything you have, your resources, you think that it's not possible. I can't get through it. But you can make it. I tell you, you can make it. I want you to say to yourself, I can make it. I will make it in the name of Jesus. You will not go back. You will not fail in the name of Jesus. Everything the Lord has laid your hands on or God has begun in you, it will finish in the name of Jesus. You will not be an abandoned project in the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Many people started well. Christianity, they run fast. But it's all about pushing through. There is so much rubbish, we are not able to build a wall. You know, if we look around and we begin to see, take your life, and you see how many times you have been discouraged. You say, I don't think I'm able to go on with God. Remember the book of, you know, Amos. Say, walk with your God, step by step. Let's keep moving up so that I can. I have limited time. And in verse 11, our enemies or adversaries said they won't know when we'll come. They won't see us. We'll just sneak in among them and kill them, and we make sure that the work they are doing can no longer continue. Of course, that's the ultimate goal of the enemy. Number one, Scripture tells us that the enemy of our souls, the enemy, one great enemy we have is the devil. Because his ultimate plan is to kill, John chapter 10, verse 10, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He says, I will make sure it can no longer move forward. Whatsoever God has put in your hand, like seed and plant, I want you to believe that God has given you so that you can nurture it and grow it. Do you know Moses got frustrated at some point? He saw miracles. He believed God spoke to him. He knew that God was the one that told him because God showed him by miracles. In fact, you will be surprised that the third time God did all kinds of things and God told him, oh, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh said, you're not going anywhere. These people are not going anywhere. In fact, double their work. If you see the kind of prayer that Moses prayed, he went back to God. In fact, if you study that again carefully, the Bible said, and Moses went back to God and said, God, please release me from this contract. Because it looks like Pharaoh will not let these people go. And I see, looking at the problem, that the people that I was supposed to release, they are now in more pain. I can't bear it. God said, no, that's not the plan. You must snatch yourself out of this and bring this. For you were made for this purpose. You were created for this thing. And God told him specifically, exactly as I've told you, go and speak to Pharaoh. Let my people go. If you have not been mindful of where you're going, you will see many people that will persuade you to go back. Oh, have I thought of, have I been stressed about maybe my schedule, like, oh, church time and whatever? Yes, many times. I've thought about it and said, God, I wish I had, you know, some more control over my time and everything. But God will tell me, I can give you more control, but will you, do you think you really own your life? And I say, oh, now I've made up my mind, I will pursue. I will continue. I will pursue. Until God will tell me, it's over. Or move to the next thing. Every time you will see some discouragement or the other, look at everything. Look at everything. You'll be like, I mean, many times we've asked ourselves a question. Oh, this church has been around for a while. At least our weekly services should have grown. Our Sunday services should have grown. People should have become better and stronger and bolder. But then you look at, if you look at the what the eyes can see, you'll be like, maybe we should just stop this thing. Maybe we should just try another thing. Maybe we should do some other thing. Those are the things that come to hinder us from moving forward. I believe someone has been blessed here. I have been blessed every time here. And I see that as something that God wants us to do. So I want us to personalize and look at your life. What are the things that hinder you? Don't ever give up. Because if you do, some people will be happy. Sanballat and Tobiah said, we will come in. So they tried to do something, was not working because the people prayed to God and then they started bringing rumors. We will go there, we will go and kill them, we will come at night. I don't know. And the ultimate purpose is so that they won't be able to build the wall. Why was Nehemiah interested in building the wall? So that people will be able to worship God. So that no one will be able to come at any time to come and steal from them. So that they will not be ashamed. Look at your life sometimes. We need to focus on that and say, the reason why I'm praying to God is not so that I can just be in church. It's so that my life will be able to glorify God. It's so that I will be able to accomplish purpose. There are certain things that God has ordained and planned for your life. It has nothing to do with people that's around you, whether it's church or the community. Because you have been ordained to do certain things. And you must not let that thing fail. The enemy said, we will go and stop their war. Verse 12. And it came to pass, even when our own people that lived there, they came, they told us 10 times over. Over and over and over. People will say, you've been praying before, it has never worked. How do you think that will work? You've been fasting before, it has never worked. How do you think it will work? People that we know will come and tell us 20 times over the strategy of the devil. If there is anything, that's why the only person that you should listen to absolutely at all time is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. People that we know said 10 times over, The enemy is coming. Many times when you dream, what do you see? You see things that will tell you you can't make it, you will die, you will fail, someone pursuing you, some problems overwhelming you. Sometimes you see yourself even bleeding or something. Whatever that dream is trying to show you. See, those are familiar voices telling us things. Let's see. Verse 13. Therefore, now Nehemiah had to do something. I sat in the lower place behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set people after their own families with their swords and spears and bows. And I looked and rose and said to them, to the rulers, to the nobles, don't be afraid of them. Remember God that is great and terrible, and then go and fight. Fight for everything you have. If there is anything I want to encourage us is so that we fight to the end. We must fight. Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. We must fight. How do you fight? Bible says in the book of Ephesians, and we know we quote that very well in chapter 6, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. If you come here and one brother is saying something, or one member of the family is saying something, or someone is basically, you don't go there and start punching them in the face. That may help you a little bit to just get yourself happy, but that will not solve all the problem. We are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. Nehemiah said, I need to fight against these people. So he set people on the higher places and lower places with swords. And Bible made it clear to us that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 12. But they are mighty through God to pull down strongholds, to destroy strongholds. What are strongholds? Anything that can hold you down, anything that can overpower you. Sometimes our strongholds may be our feelings. We feel this, we feel that. Oh, I perceive this is going to happen. I perceive that is going to happen. It could be people that surround us with bad news. Some people, all they can give you is bad news. They always want to do something. They will always tell you bad news. If you surround yourself with those people, beware. Here, they said 10 times over, people kept telling us the bad news. Fine, I know that that is a possibility. It is possible that I'm driving home, there will be an accident. It is possible. But I'm not going to sit down and listen to someone that says, oh, what if there's an accident? I reject it in the name of Jesus. That is it. But if you see someone, they will always say that thing. Oh, what if something bad happens to you at work? It can happen, but I reject it in the name of Jesus. Some people, their minds have not been renewed after the things of God. So if you constantly listen to them, all they will encourage you to do is to say, failure, death, failure. That was what scripture said. We usually quote that. When men say there is casting down, for me, I would say there is uplifting. Some people have no understanding of God, and all they see is failure. When Moses was standing by the Red Sea, what some other people could say, they could only see problem. Because, of course, there was a real problem in front of them. How are they going to get over? But it was encouraged. I want you to believe God tonight and continually fight until the end. If you don't fight, who's going to fight? Sometimes church is not helping a lot. We're not really praying as we should pray for one another. Nehemiah said, swords and say, protect your families. He didn't say, I will do it for you. You have to fight. Let me ask you this question. Who's going to fight for my children? I'm not waiting for someone in our area church or in our zona church to come and fight for my children. No. I will go on my knees and call upon God and ask God and say, Lord, if you're going to cause fire to come down, let it come down. Just to protect this. Who's going to fight for your children, your wives, and your husbands, and your family members, your cousins? You must fight spiritually. We're not fighting against flesh. And you use the sword of God. That's what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians. Say the sword of God, which is the word of God. Anyone that keeps telling you something that is strange, tell them back with the word of God. Say, I understand what you say, and by experience, I have had that too, and I've seen that too, but I believe more the word of God. Whose report will you believe? Let me quickly move on so that we can, in case we have questions. Verse 14. I looked up, I rose up, and I said to everybody, don't be afraid. If there is anything, anytime you see fear in your heart, I want you to be able to speak to yourself, body, I will not be afraid. The Bible says, fear not, for you have not been given the spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mind. Sound mind. And you say, Father, I declare this my mind, you are sound by the word of God. I will not be afraid of the enemies that come at noon or at night, because the Lord is on my side. If God be for me, who can be against me? What can be against me? How can anything think that it can succeed against me? It's not that you are boasting. It's just that you absolutely reside in the presence of God. As we prayed last week, Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. In other words, if your address, your zip code, the location where you are permanently residing is the secret place, not a common place, not an ordinary place, the secret place of God, then you are saved. Let's quickly move on. Verse 15, I want us to pay attention to some of this. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that we have known their ideas. Remember, if you don't know what any enemy is planning against you, you won't be able to fight. When they heard that we have known their ideas and God brought their counsel to nothing. I want you to pray this prayer. Father, every thought, idea, or plan that is not of God, you will bring them to nothing in the name of Jesus. Every plan that is saying, oh, your health, your job, your life, your marriage, your home will be destroyed. Lord, I declare you will bring them to nothingness in the name of Jesus. Bible says they shall gather, but because they are not of God, it shall not come to pass. Lord, I pray every counsel, every idea, every coming together of man, woman, brother, sister, to destroy your family, your home, your business, your marriage, your health, your career, whatsoever God has put in you, I pray the Lord will bring them to nothingness in the name of Jesus. Yeah, it is very important to know that we must pray these specific prayers. God has revealed to us their plan. Everyone, verse 16, and it came to a time from that time on that half of the people were the ones that were fighting and half of the people were the ones that were walking. That we have not done very well with that. We like to walk 100% of the time instead of spending some of our time to plan to fight spiritually. Nehemiah said people to stand by. Who are the prayer warriors now? We don't have prayer warriors anymore. Everyone wants this. Okay, nice. Let's do this thing. Some people must intercede. The Bible says that those that intercede must continually watch. We must intercede. Abraham interceded for Lot. He was praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. Are you interceding for your children? Are you interceding for your husband? Are you interceding for your wife? Are you interceding on behalf of yourself? And say, God, oh Lord, help me so that I will not fall into mistake. You know, what it takes is just for us to fall into a very small mistake. And everything that we think has been set up will be dismantled in a very few number of days, of weeks. And the enemy will be happy. Remember John chapter 10, verse 10. Don't take it lightly, because that was what Jesus said. It says the enemy wants to steal. What? What will enemy steal? Your joy, your hope, your confidence? It will do everything possible to make sure that you are robbed of the peace of God. And he wants to kill. That means he wants to put an end to the hope of God and the plan of God and the things of God. And to destroy. He doesn't care whether things are destroyed. I will stop in verse 19 so that we can ask questions. Let me read verse 17. Now let's look at it. The people that were building the wall and they that were carrying the load, every one of their hands, they were working with one hand, and with the other hand, they had weapons. For the builders, everyone had his own sword by his side. That's how they were building. And he that sounded the trumpet was by my side. I want us to stop there because we can go on and find so many other wisdom there. Nehemiah said, I will appoint someone that all that he will do as his primary job is to alert people there is danger. Anything that will take you out of church immediately, that then is taking you away from where you can hear the trumpet that will sound. I've had a couple of people say, well, first time they're going through any difficult situation is to withdraw. They withdraw from church, and I understand that withdrawing from church may sound like a good idea. It may sound like a perfect solution to the problem. But once you are no longer close to the source of the trumpet that says, there is a problem, what are you going to do? Think about it. You have ADT in your house, or you have all this alarm. The reason why they put the alarm is to notify somebody that something is wrong somewhere. Say you have the alarm, but you don't pay attention to it, or it's too far from you. How are you going to deal with things? Nehemiah put someone permanently on this schedule. All you need to do is watch for sign of danger. If you see anything, sound the alarm. Everybody, when you see the trumpet, make sure that it's time to fight. Most Christians today, we don't have any watch. In fact, that's why they call them watchmen in the Old Testament. So let's look at this. This is all just about building the wall. They had specific enemies. If we don't know the enemies we are fighting, we can't fight. If America does not know whether it should fight the jihadists or the other, it will just be randomly sending planes to anywhere. You must know the enemy. It must be very specific. There are so many things that are contending against our lives, against our homes, against our children, against our health. Against our ministry, you may say, oh, I don't have a ministry. You have a ministry. God has not made anyone that he has not given some gifts. And those gifts must be used to bless somebody or to show for the glory of God. That is how God works. So some things will contend with those gifts so that you won't be able to use your gift. Remember the first approach, Nehemiah prayed to God. Second approach. The sword. Where is your sword? The word of God. Like I said, anything that will take away the word of God from you and replace it with ordinary words, that thing is dangerous. And I want us to beware of the people that will come and tell you over and over and over what you know is not going to solve the problem. The Jews were coming 10 times over to tell us about the problem. Nehemiah 4:12. They kept saying, this is not a strategy to build a church. Is this how you think you can improve church? In America this day, you're just gathering yourself together, African-American. In fact, put together your salary is not able to buy a cathedral. You think this is what? Where is the choir? Is this how churches run? This is how choir? If you think about it over and over, you will believe it. You'll be like, ah, that's true. You say you just do everything anyhow. But what Nehemiah saw was God that has helped me to find favor before the king who helped me to build this wall. And I believe God that has brought you thus far, that God will not abandon you in the name of Jesus. In fact, this is one thing I can tell about God. God is not a God that will take a person midway and abandon them. Never. He has never done that to anyone. Is it that the person will willingly say, God, I don't want to continue? But with God, if he has taken you from one point and it takes you a little bit further, he's going to take you to the end as long as you walk with him. Every single person in the scriptures, the same way. Once you move and you keep walking with God, it will take you to the end. God is not in the business of abandoning people. People of Israel thought that, oh, God has brought us into the wilderness to kill us. God said, don't worry, I'll take you to where you're going. It looked impossible. In fact, let me say this, and if you have any questions, I don't know. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, the disciples were at a very difficult situation. Is it possible for this man to come back alive, as he said? Who's going to believe that? They saw how he was punished, how he was killed ridiculously overnight. They saw how he could not respond to anything. So tell me, on the Saturday that Jesus was dead, if there were 50 people, enlightened, educated, spiritual, and they came to disciple and they said, but your master kept talking about, oh, I'm alive, I am dead, this mountain, this thing, oh, all this. You sure this man will come again to help you? Jesus was telling Thomas and Philip in John chapter 15, he said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, this and that. Said, I am the way. You are the way and you're dead. You're dead. In fact, your tomb was borrowed. In fact, the man that brought the cloth to wrap him was not a proper burial. In fact, he died in proper death. He died outside of the city where they used to crucify people that committed big crimes. They say, who slapped you if you say you are the king? He didn't. He say, I thought you said you were a prophet. Okay, on that Saturday, who thought? If anyone should talk to disciples, they basically say, forget about this. It's not going to work. Even though we saw miracles and we thought those ones were just by, maybe God just wanted to show something different. But God, who has begun a good work, must finish it. That's who God is. God will never bring someone halfway and say, oh, I can't. Except the person does something, and then God will say, specifically, I'm changing my mind because of what you've done. But if God has promised, that's why we sing that song. He has promised, he will never fail. I will follow him, I will follow him. My God has promised, he will never fail. His faithfulness is forevermore. His faithfulness is forevermore. When God makes a promise, we never, ever break it. And the only way we can hold on to the promises of God is to call upon him. He said, call unto me, and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things you've not heard before. It is all that we need to do. We are going to face this discouragement. From Sunday schools in the last 3 weeks, what we have heard about a lot is discouragement. Discouragement. If there is anything that will take you out of this way, as long as you can be discouraged enough, you will stop going to work one day. You'll be like, what are they doing? Meanwhile, you know for sure in that place is where you should become the manager. But you'll be so discouraged that you say, I'll change my job. I'll leave that place. Maybe God is telling you. You think Joseph was not discouraged enough? He saw a vision of God and family bowing down, but in prison, as a slave, as all kinds of things. There was almost a good reason for him to believe God was never going to show up on time. For me, studying Nehemiah here tells me, make sure you know the enemy you're fighting. Number two, if you listen to people, you will never do anything. You will be so weakened. At first, they said, When they heard the threat and they started looking at the problem they need to deal with, they stopped building. If you look too much at the problem you're going to deal with, you'll be so paralyzed you won't do anything. You say, where will I start again? Where will I pick this again? How can this ever? It's not. You will look at everything that way. But pray to God. Pray to God. Scripture says something. Says, Jesus knew people that he did not give himself to them. He could understand what they were going to think and plan, and he said, I'm not going to give you all the. He did not give himself to them. If you rely on people, you know, so much and say, oh, this is my brother's brother, and then you may be disappointed. But the only person that cannot disappoint is God. So we must trust him. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I mean, there are some fundamental questions I want us to wrap up now because I want us to leave. I will ask these questions. The people responded based on fear. People responded based on what they've heard. Because everybody was telling them they're coming. They said they will prevent us. And how do we respond to bad news, to discouragements? When people start saying, pick any aspect of our life. We can use lives. We can use, you know, because sometimes we use church a lot and, you know, we think it's just church. I want us to use our lives. What are the things that we must do to contend against discouragement that will come in our lives? Yes? I want us to be out of here in 15 minutes maximum, if possible. There are too many things that discourage us. I mean, we may not want to say it, but I tell you, we are discouraged by a lot of things. You think things are looking up, and before you know it, they start going down. Yes, sir. Any thoughts? This prayer, I don't even know whether this prayer is doing anything. Yes? Yes, ma'am. It is hard. It's just the simple truth. Music. That's very good. So when we're all depressed or situations that come around us, because right here they said the people saw the amount of work to be done and they saw amount of opposition. What would have encouraged them? The only thing they had was Nehemiah that came from outside town. But what do we have? She said music. Praise. Because it's very hard sometimes, you know. Sometimes you'll be praising or singing and tears will come out of your face. And that's when you know that's a serious problem. You know,
They say that if you want an old person that is talking, that is sweating, they say it's not usually because they are really, you know, sweating. That is, they're crying. It's a proverb. When you see an old person that is talking and you see sweat coming and it's just every now and then, the wiping face, it's not because of the talk. It's because of the internal stress that is bringing sweat out. When we are discouraged to the limit, encouragement, we must seek it. Worship, that is one. Because the day you cannot pray, remember Jesus had to ask Peter, James, and John, come and pray with me. Encouragement. You know, Jesus never asked them at any point in time to come and pray with him. Never. That was the only recorded place that Jesus asked them, can you pray with me for an hour? Jesus was asking for people to come and pray with him. The people that were begging him, sir, we saw you always pray by yourself. Teach us to pray. And he said, oh, okay, I'll teach you to pray. He was the one telling them, pray in your own secret so that other people will not know. Matthew chapter 5 and 6. But then it got to a point where he has prayed by himself. Well, thank God that that scripture said that even his own sweat was like blood. That means something was, it got to the point, and if you recall exactly what Jesus said on the cross, Jesus was recalling Psalm 22. On the cross, my Father, why have you forsaken me? If you don't get to that point, everybody gets to that point in life, you will get, your faith will get to the point where you feel like, am I being crazy or I should just slow down and get back from this thing? Anyone that has not gotten to that point, perhaps has just been enjoying too much of grace of God. Everyone will get to that point. If you look at every single one that has been tried for a long time in the scriptures, anyone, you get to the point where your faith will be tried so hard. And thank God we have studied tests and trials. Apostle Paul, he was tried, he was in prison, he was beaten, he went through all kinds of situations. He got to a point that his life was almost like nothing. He wrote, while he was in prison in Rome, he said, I am cold. Please, can you send someone to give me a jacket and a parchment so that I can still be reading the Old Testament? He said, no one comes around me anymore because they put him under arrest. And he said, oh, I have even preached to the prisoners. At that point, he was discouraged. He was as anointed, as great, and more. Everyone, what do you do? Praise. What else? I know when we say, if anyone says, yeah, oh, I'll just go and pray. Anyone that tells me all that is just making stuff up. When you are completely discouraged, your prayer is even a little bit confused because you don't know what to say, and that is one area where the Holy Spirit should help us. For we know what we do not know what we ought to say, but the Spirit will make intercession. The word intercession is you can no longer talk as you should talk to defend yourself or to present your case. So someone needs to come and say, okay, please just, don't worry, stand there. Let me take the case. That's what lawyers do. That's why they call them lawyers or attorneys. They defend you. He says the Holy Spirit will not come in and help you to pray with a groaning, meaning you don't know what you want to say, but that thing, whatever you say, whether it makes sense to you or not, God can translate it to, I know the pain, and I know what you're going through, and then can move it through. If we don't understand the signs, again, don't listen too much to people that will talk to you 10 times about the problem you know about. That's what they did in verse 14, Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14. 10 times over, they kept telling us exactly about the problem we are aware of. And you know what? The reason for that is very clear. When people tell you about the problem you know about 20 times, 50 times, you believe it more. You are more convinced
that problem is more real than it used to be. In fact, you didn't think about it before. But by the time they tell you, do you know how many people die of this? You'll be like, I know. But do you really know how many people have died this year about this? Do you know how many people from your country have died about in this same thing you have? Do you know how many people doing this type of job that you are doing? And of you, in fact, they match your own category. I've died about this. Do you know how many people cannot make it? This same case that you are in. You know, by the time they tell you 20 times, and now everything you are seeing is death, dying, not making it, or there's no solution. You must find consolation in the word of God. We usually read that. The Bible says, oh, and when David came back from fighting in Ziklag, everybody started throwing stones at him because they already captured the wives and children, and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Play music if you have to play music. Roll on the floor if you have to roll on the floor. Worship God if you have to. Do something that is outside normal for you to do, but you know is glorifying God. That's not the time to quit church. Because if you say, oh, this problem is overwhelming, I should quit. That was not the time to quit praying. Because sometimes we just say, oh, we're done with this thing. Last question I'll ask is this. Why did Nehemiah put people to watch? 50% of them were defending, 50% of them were working. Is there something we can learn from that? How much of, let me quickly make it straight so that we won't spend, I want us to leave latest by 8:45. How much of time do we devote to defense? Do we devote to something that we know can help us to get through? When we are in a difficult situation. Okay, I'll give a live example. Usually when we get in a difficult situation, we start running up and down. And it's true, it's just normal. Our mind is not settled, and all we're looking for is, what else can we do? But the plan here that Nehemiah adopted was, let us separate some time, some hours, to make sure we guard against things that can discourage, can continue to attack us. That should be a good time for us to find time to say, I've not been able to even, my spirit is down. Can I find anything from here? Even if it's extra 30 minutes, extra 15 minutes, that will help me fight. Because the reason why we're down is because of life event. Why not just find some sword, some word from the word of God? And meditate it. Why don't you say, let me study this word and understand something more at this time? It doesn't look like the right time to do that. Sometimes we can approach the problem wrongly. We can say, maybe we should just tell everybody to continue to focus on the work so that we finish it quickly before the enemies will come. It's not extra work. It is understanding the enemy and the strategy of the enemy and fighting appropriately. Like I said again, Ephesians, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. If someone comes around telling something that is completely not the plan of God for your life, fight those things spiritually. Take those things to God and say, God, this is what I have heard. That was what Sennacherib did to Hezekiah. And Hezekiah basically said, God, this man has basically messed up your glory in my life. Lord, respond. Why don't we pray like that? I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. I do not have any other question. If not, we're going to pray. Any question? Thoughts? I would like us to pray tonight. Just a few prayer points. We're going to close. There are discouragers. They may appear to be as people that support you, but they will stylishly tell you it's not possible. Stylishly, they will bring you to a point you will give up on God's given call for your life. Something God has ordained, they will basically discourage you enough to abandon. I want you to pray, Father, everything that surrounds me, everyone that surrounds me that has been discouraging me from following through with your purpose and your plan, Lord, open my eyes that I may understand their counsel. Remember, that's what we have prayed about first. I want you to ask God and say, Lord, every counsel that is meant to discourage me, Lord, you will make those counsel to come to nothing in the name of Jesus. Every individual, every group, every situation that is being staged to discourage me, Lord, I pray, reveal your purpose so that I will not be discouraged, so that I will continue to press on towards the mark of high calling. I want us to pray tonight. Maybe you are not praising God enough. Maybe you are not praying enough. In fact, maybe you are tired, you can't pray anymore. I understand that. I want you to ask for the Spirit of God to come upon you afresh. I want you to say, Holy Spirit, help me indeed. That is the reason why Christ said, and I will ask the Father that he will give unto you a counselor, someone that will advise you appropriately, someone that will tell you the right things to do, someone that will tell you, don't go there now, go now, don't worry, be confident, don't bother. I want you to pray and say, Spirit of God, come afresh on me. Holy Spirit, I welcome you into my heart. Maybe I've ignored, maybe I have not paid attention to what you have said before, maybe I am not consistently obeying your word, maybe I have even disrespected the word that you have spoken to me. Father, forgive me. Speak to me again. Spirit of God, guide me in all my situation. Help me indeed. I want to talk to God. And last prayer I want us to ask tonight. I want you to talk to God. The ultimate purpose of these enemies we are talking about, whether they are physical or spiritual, is to destroy the work, is to stop you from building the wall, is to make you not to get to the end of the game. I want you to pray and say, Lord, everything you have started in me, Father, I receive a finishing grace. I will not be an abandoned project. Pray to God about your salvation. You may be strong right now. Bible says, examine yourself whether you are still in the Lord. You have to push on towards the mark of high calling. Apostle Paul said, not that I have arrived, not that I have accomplished, not that I am perfect, not that I know how to manage all problems, but I press on towards the mark of high calling. And I'm waiting expectantly to receive the crown of glory that my God will give to them that fight to the end. He said, fight the good fight of faith. I want you to pray and say, Father, help me that I will not abandon this. Scripture says in the book of Matthew, we whosoever lays his hand upon the plow and he looks back, is not worthy of the glory that the Father has restored for him. John 14, 15 tells us, in my Father's house there are many mansions and Christ is coming. I want you to pray. Perhaps you are discouraged at this moment. Ask God and say, Lord, encourage me. Encourage me. People will discourage you. Situation will discourage you. Your finances will discourage you. In fact, you can be discouraged by the things that you thought will not discourage you. But I want you to pray and say, Father, I renew my confidence in your word. I believe you are the reason for me to live, and I know that you have my back. One thing that you can rely upon is the word of God. He's a covenant-keeping God. As he promised, will he not do it? He said, I have sworn by my name. Whatsoever I have said, I will do. Even to the smallest of the word, it says, my word will go forth and prosper in the things I have sent them to. They will not come back to me empty. I want you to pray to God, Lord, every spoken word, every covenant, every promise in your word, I agree with your word. I declare it shall be unto me in the name of Jesus. I may be going through tough times, tough situation now, but tough times never last. Only tough people do. Lord, I pray that you will strengthen my heart. I pray that you will encourage me. I pray you will give me a hope. Oh God, I pray you will open my eyes to see the end. I pray you will strengthen me. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Father, I want to thank you tonight for the word. I pray for everyone here. Lord, we have constantly been stressed out by events of life. Situations we never planned for. Things we did not know would turn out this way. Circumstances that might have come. People that have surrounded us that they are not of anything, but they just wanted to frustrate us. My Father, I pray tonight, every such situation, I pray you turn them around, oh God, so that we can be encouraged and continue to pursue in the name of Jesus. Perhaps we are considering not following you anymore or not doing the things we should do. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God will come around and encourage everyone in the name of Jesus. Every situation that looks hopeless, Father, I pray let there be turned around. Lord, let there be encouragement to pursue. Lord, I ask, oh God, the grace of God that will push us from behind. Lord, to move on to the next level in the name of Jesus. Bible says we are not of them of perdition. We go from one level of glory to another. Lord, I pray let there be a forward movement in the direction of your will in the name of Jesus. Every counsel, every purpose you have, Lord, everything you have started in our lives, Bible says, he who has begun a good work in us will finish it. Lord, I pray, every good project of God in your life shall be accomplished in the name of Jesus. You shall not be an abandoned project. The purpose of God for your family, for your marriage, for your home, for your children, for your business, for your health, for your ministry, for your career shall be accomplished in the name of Jesus. The word of God unto Zerubbabel says that it's not by power or by might, but by the Spirit of the Lord. I pray that the Spirit of God will sustain you. The Spirit of God will uplift you. In times where there is downcast, the Bible says when men say there is downcast, you will say there is uplifting. I pray that shall be uplifting for you in the name of Jesus. Every situation that is not supporting, every rumor that you have heard that is discouraging you 10 times over, Lord, I come against every such thought in the name of Jesus. Bible says, whose report shall we believe? We believe the report of God. We hold on to your word because your word is yea and amen. Lord, I declare, oh God, every rumor that has discouraged us, we replace with the word of faith in the name of Jesus. And faith tells us that it is possible. Faith tells us that God is able to do it for us. Faith tells us that because he loves us, he will not withhold any good thing from us. Lord, we believe your word and we hold on to it tonight. Everything, oh God, that might have been discouraging us, Lord, tonight we begin to see the plan of God clearly in the name of Jesus. Lord, we begin to see the purpose of God clearly in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray every Sambalat and Tobiah, every Geshem that is hiding as friend, hiding as neighbor, hiding as church member, hiding as this, Lord, I pray you will confuse their thoughts in the name of Jesus. Bible says, and they came against the man of God in Dothan to arrest him. And the man of God prayed that the Lord may smite them with blindness. Every plan that is contrary to the work of God in our lives, that is about to arrest us, to confuse us, to delay us, to hinder us, to make us not to get to where we are going, my Father, I ask, oh God, let the power of heaven smite them with blindness in the name of Jesus. Bible said, and Nehemiah said, people as watchmen. Lord, I declare, oh God, tonight everyone here shall become a watchman or watchwoman for their family in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, Lord, that your mighty hand will cover every member of the household. The Bible says, fight so that your children, your wives, your brothers and sisters will not be put to shame. Lord, I declare you will fight for us in the name of Jesus. I cover everyone with the blood of Jesus. Bible says, for the blood of the Lamb upon the lintel of the door of the children of Israel was able to prevent even the angel of destruction from coming in to fight for them. Lord, I plead the blood over everyone. You will fight for us. When we are discouraged, you will encourage us. Father, strengthen us at all times. Let your word, O God, be our source of strength. Bible made it clear to us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Lord, speak unto us. Finally, I ask, O God, this morning, without Holy Spirit, we are powerless. Without Holy Spirit, we are weak. Bible says that Spirit will help us even with a groaning beyond which our words can express. I ask, O God, tonight for the gift of God. Let it rest upon every vessel. So that when we are not, even we cannot speak again, Lord, your Spirit can help us to pray. When we cannot express our feelings anymore, Lord, your Spirit will be able to take over and you'll be able to help us to present our needs before you. For your word says, ask whatsoever you want before your Father, and your Heavenly Father will give unto you as you desire. Lord, let it be in the name of Jesus. Lord, this church, many times, church can be discouraged. Every worker can be discouraged. Every minister can be discouraged. Lord, I pray as many as are discouraged, encourage them in the name of Jesus. As many as have been frustrated, Lord, let there be a new hope, a new joy, so that they can see a new day and begin to be revitalized. That we thank you. We bless your name, O God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Let us share the grace and fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.